Today we're going to be looking in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the second chapter. And I want to read for you the first 14 verses there. We'll have it up on the screen, but I want you to know there's two names that sound very familiar here if you're not used to this scripture and not familiar with this scripture. There is Elijah and Elisha. Okay? So I hope that I will be able to pronounce them in a way separately so that you can hear it. I'm going to try to make sure I pause so you can hear which one I'm talking about. Okay? But you'll be able to see it on the screen. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses and of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and he tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he had struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. One of the songs that we were singing this morning says about how the church is decreasing, getting smaller in number. And all of us have seen that. You've seen it in your lifetime, and you've seen the effect that a pandemic has had on the church. Most churches, as I've talked around and gotten information, are at 50% of where they were before COVID. It's a new normal, and it's a new normal that a lot of people are trying to get used to, because a lot of people aren't coming. People have made choices to stay at home. I don't want to slight those that are watching us today on Facebook. I understand for some. But sometimes I think it's a choice that's made that a different choice could be made for us to gather together and to be together. One of the issues I think that is involved in this whole thing is what this story is about. One of the issues that I think is involved in the whole thing about why churches have been decreasing since the 70s is about not passing ministry on and not training people how to do ministry. One of the issues we've had here at this church is we don't have people that want to teach classes. And one of those reasons is because we haven't been teaching people how to teach classes. And those who were teaching have passed on or are not able to do it anymore. But we didn't foster the growth of bringing new teachers along. And I want to say that some of you in this room have the gift of teaching that God has given you by the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're not sure how to use it, or you're not confident enough to be able to use it. And part of that deals with not having the same kind of relationship that we see here in this story. Because you see, this story shows the passing of ministry from one individual to another. It shows the passing of ministry. And oftentimes what happens in the church is we have people who are involved in ministry and involved in doing things, and they're so involved in doing it that we fail sometimes to think about how do we bring somebody else along to learn about how to do this so that when I'm no longer here, somebody else can carry on confidently, with understanding that they have gifts and talents and skills, and God's calling them into that place. And you see, that's what this story is about. Chapters before this, Elijah, a prophet who is held high in the understanding of the Old Testament, and by the way, he's one of two people that never died. I'll let you go search for the other one. But he's one of two people who never died. He was taken up into heaven, and that's what we see in this passage. Elijah has been a great prophet, and he has brought God's word to the people of his time in a tremendous way. It has caused conflict. It has caused problems. It has caused him at times to feel alone and isolated because he's speaking God's word. I want you to understand that a prophet does not only tell about the future. Sometimes we think about prophecy and we think about prophecy deals with something that's going to happen in the future. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the understanding of a prophet is one who speaks the words of God to the people, oftentimes for their day, at that moment. They are God's mouthpiece. God speaks to them and they share that. And Elijah has been doing that and he has gotten in tremendous amounts of trouble. With the king, with the queen, with all the other religious leaders, with all the religious leaders that were trying to cause Israel to go down the wrong path, he's gotten in trouble with them all. Because he has spoken God's word to the people for that day, not for a future time. He's spoken to them about your sinners right now, and you're doing the wrong thing right now, and you got to change right now. That's the main role of a prophet. As he goes along in his story, he is told to basically tap Elisha on the shoulder to take over from him at a later date. This story is about that ministry changing from one individual to another. Elisha has followed Elijah around and learned from him about how to be a prophet of God. In the terms of the New Testament, we would say Elisha has been Elijah's disciple. He has been the one who's been following him from place to place. The story of how this started was that Elijah, in many translations it says, took his mantle, his cloak, and put it over Elisha, and basically walked off. And you see, Elisha knew what that meant, because a mantle or a cloak was an outward symbol for others to know the person's role in ministry. Elijah has taken that mantle and has placed it on Elisha, and he walked away. And Elisha came running after him and says, "Why have you done? Why? And he says, "Wait." And Elisha says, "Let me go back." And you know what he does? He does what some of us need to do. He goes back and he burns up his old way of life. He takes the oxen and he offers them up to God. He was plowing the field, by the way. He starts a fire and offers the oxen up to God as a sacrifice. He cannot now go back to his old way of life. The oxen are gone. Sometimes maybe we need to consider that as we follow Jesus Christ. I know, you're not supposed to burn your bridges behind you because you might need to retreat, right? You got to have an exit plan. You got to have an exit strategy in case something doesn't go right. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, I think you need to burn the bridges behind you. Amen. And you need to walk forward and follow Jesus Christ. Because what does Jesus say? He who puts his hand to the plow and turns his eye back, I don't want him. Well, first off, the farmers know why you don't want the guy that turns this way, why he's plowing this way. Right? Tell us, Eric, what happens? Yeah, you go off. The rows look a little bit different if you're not paying attention to what you're doing. And Jesus says, if you're not going to pay attention to following me and you're going to turn from that and look in another direction, I don't want you. So think about that every time you say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Well, except for this moment. You see, this story is about that. It's about folks coming to follow and to understand that they need to learn about the ministry that's happening. They need to understand that. Churches have not done a decent job of doing that. Churches have been involved about getting people to come in. Churches have been involved about changing their style to get people to come to worship. Changing how they do things to get people to come to worship. And then many of these places don't ask people to make a deeper commitment. They don't ask people to learn about ministry. They don't sign them up for discipleship classes. They don't help them to understand. And I know, because I've heard it all throughout my ministry, that discipleship stuff, Pastor, is hard. Yep. I agree with you. It's hard. I've been doing it for 30 plus years. It's hard. It's difficult. There's parts of it that I feel uncomfortable with, that I'm not okay with. There's parts of it that I say, Lord, why? I don't want to do that. You know what? Just because it's hard doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Right? Jesus Christ said what? Go therefore and make. It doesn't say get people saved. Now that is the first step of making disciples. But if you're only going with that first step, you're not following through on what Jesus asked us to do. You're not teaching people about ministry and how to do that. Elisha has followed Elijah for many, many years along with him and watched what he was doing and how he communicates his word, how he shares. I know from many different things and many different people and getting feedback, I have a gift of teaching. I know that. It's a gift from God. I want to recognize that before you. It is a gift from God. It's not me. God adds something to what I do when I teach that I cannot contribute to anything of me. Because God touches people's hearts in a tremendous way. God gives me the words to say. And sometimes the word, people have asked me, Pastor, I see them on a Saturday, Pastor, you got your sermon done for this week? Nope. It's not done until, well, you'd like it to be done in about 10 minutes from now, right? As I stand here, God brings me things that I need to tell you. That I didn't plan on telling you while I sat down and read this scripture and studied it this week. The sermon's not done until it's preached. The teaching's not done until it's taught. It's not done until it happens. Because I learned a long time ago, since this is a gift from God, that when I step into a place, what I had planned may need to go out the window because God has something else planned. And that's what needs to come up. But I want to tell you, the reason I shared all that with you is I want to tell you this. The first few times that I taught in the church, the first few times that I taught in college as part of the Navigators, I'm sure it was pitiful. I'm sure of it. I was doing the best that I could. I was doing the best that I knew how. Even though it was a gift from God, I didn't know how to use it properly when I first received it. It's been a period of time of learning how to use it. So Elijah comes to Elisha and puts the mantle on him and says, you're to be the next prophet. And Elisha says, well, all I know how to do is plow with oxen. That's why he follows him. That's why he walks with him. That's why Elisha says, I will not leave you as long as you're living. Now, if you follow their journey on the map, you would go, what? Because they're here at this town. They go all the way over here to this town. They come back to the next town right next to where they just were. I mean, these are neighboring towns. And then they cross the Jordan River. And then Elijah is taken up. And Elisha comes back across the river. Now, why'd they have to walk way out here to turn around and come back here to go across the river where they were already right here? Could have just gone across the river. I think Elijah was trying to find out, Elisha, are you committed to the ministry that I'm getting ready to pass on to you? He had learned about it, yes. He knew how to do it. He knew how to be a prophet. But I want to find out, are you truly committed? And can I pass this ministry to you? One of the things the church is not doing is passing ministry from one person to another. Sometimes we get a hold of, people in the church get a hold of a position and they center on that position and they do what they need to do in that position. They accomplish what needs to be accomplished. But sometimes you got to bring somebody along with you so that when you can't do the ministry anymore, somebody else knows how to do it. We need to do that in every ministry in the church, whether it's teaching, whether it's mopping the floor. I'm sure there's a great wrong way to mop a floor. I don't know because I don't have experience mopping any floors. But I'm sure there's a great wrong way to do it, and I bet I could go out here in the hallway and do it, and a number of you could walk by and go, "Pastor, you know, that's not really the way you should be doing that." You see, there's all kinds of things like that in the church. There's a need within our community of faith. And I'm not speaking just this church. I'm talking about the community of faith in this town. There's a need within our community of faith for people to have this Elijah and Elisha relationship. There is a need. I have heard more times in my no, I can't lead in that way because I don't know how. One of the things we've done with the deacons here is whoever's the chairman of deacons has a vice chair. That vice chair raises up into the chairman of deacons position next year. So whoever's voted in as vice chair has to be somebody that's going to be on the deacon list next year. One of the reasons we've done that is to give the vice chair an opportunity to learn what it means to be the chairman of deacons. They're taking 1 year to prepare and to get ready to fill that chairman of deacons position. We need to do that same kind of thing in all of our ministries, not just within the church, but also within this community. There are some wonderful, wonderful ministries in this community. Agape Food Bank, Open Door, Hope Packs, Hope Ministries does so much there. I mean, there are so many things in different food banks in different places. I want you to think about what would happen if somebody's not learning how to do these things in the process of the ministry being done. Then one day those ministries just stop. Does the need go away? No. And I'm telling you this because the church is not the only one that has this problem. Every organization has this same problem. Organizations, civic organizations in our community are folding because people aren't stepping up into leadership positions. Because they never learned how to do it. Because nobody brought them alongside and said, "Let me teach you. Let me show you. Let me give." Just because you got the tool doesn't mean you know how to use it. I've spent 30 years crafting and understanding and getting God's understanding on how to use the tools that God's given me. And sometimes it's been an utter failure. But I've learned from those situations. And I want nothing more than to teach other people how to do the ministry. One day I will die. Somebody needs to be able to fill my shoes. Who's going to do it? I know. You just go out and search for another pastor and you bring them in. But what I'm talking about is who's going to take care of the ministries that are here at this church and make sure they continue on. Make sure they continue to grow. We've got a problem with people don't want to be part of teams in this church. Well, I don't want to be a part of that team because I don't know how to do it. That's why there's a 3-year rotation in the teams. So that you have an opportunity to learn how to do it before you come to a leadership position where you're in charge. But we got people that don't want to sign up. I'm asking you, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to understand? Because if not, all of the great ministries that we know in this town will one day disappear. This town does incredible things to help people come to know Jesus Christ. Incredible things. But without this kind of Elijah and Elisha relationship, one day all those ministries will disappear. So will the organizations. So will the churches. A relationship of training is needed for vital ministry to continue in our community of faith. A relationship of training is needed for the vital ministry to continue in our community of faith. Can you imagine what it would mean to the people if next week, because there's nobody willing to staff it, there's nobody willing to take charge, there's nobody willing to help out, that the open door closed? And people couldn't come and get food 5 days a week at lunchtime. There are some people that depend upon that, especially as our economy is going downhill and inflation is going up. What happens if nobody volunteers this week? Because everybody steps back and says, well, I didn't learn how to do that, and I haven't been trained, I can't help. And what happens is more and more churches close. People don't find out about Jesus Christ. I got a two-part question to leave you with. Are you training someone to accept your ministry that you're taking part in right now? Or are you learning a ministry from someone? I don't think I've left anybody in this room out. If you're involved in a ministry in this community, are you teaching someone how to take over that ministry? Or are you learning a ministry that one day you can take over because God has gifted you to do that? God has called you to do that. You're involved one way or the other. Which one are you involved with? And are you doing it? Let us pray. Father God, we come to you from the story of Elijah and Elisha. How incredibly it was important for someone to take over that ministry. And Elisha went on to do some incredible things, speaking your word and sharing your word with other people. Lord, we need to be conscious of the same thing. We need to be conscious of the need to share how to do a ministry that we know well. Or we need to listen to the Holy Spirit about where you're asking us to be involved, where you're nudging us and encouraging us to be involved, so that we might learn a ministry that we could keep going in the midst of this church, in the midst of this community, in the midst of a world that needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, convict us deeply on our place and our part in this Elijah and Elisha relationship, that we might be doing what needs to be done so that the ministry of getting the word of Jesus Christ can continue on for centuries to come, so that many more could have salvation and eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.